You're listening to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows, like the one you're about to enjoy, visit electronicmediacollective.com. And now, our feature presentation.
Greetings, wrestling fans. The pro wrestling mothership has taken over your stereo with episode number 27, and we are live on the Pro Wrestling Iowa Network. We're available every week on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, Blueberry, the EMC Podcast Network, Podbean, and of course, ProWrestlingIowa.net. I am the captain of this ship. My name is Dustin Smothers. I am the metal mouth of Midwest Wrestling, and I am joined by the fabulous fashionista. It's a tongue twister. I mess it up every time, Darnell. I will get better at it. Darnell Mitchell, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. It's my birthday right now.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you. For about two and a half more hours. I think I'm going to stay up until the Defenders drops here this morning and watch the first episode or two.
Oh, yeah. I have to, go to bed because I haven't worked in the past 2.5 days, unfortunately.
You finally got to go back.
Yeah, I feel a lot better. I might cough a 60-year-old smoker during the show.
You mean like my nan, my nana?
Yeah, our sisters from.
Go ahead and get yourself some cookies and milk in the kitchen there, Bubby.
Yeah, I've been a little bit under the weather, so I've been watching episodes of Power Rangers and Friends and playing Zelda, but that's kind of what I usually do anyway. So
it's better than watching the news lately, unfortunately. So Friends and Zelda sounds like a lot better deal than what's going on right now in the world. I kind of said my piece about it on the Pro Wrestling Iowa podcast, but Darnell, everybody on the network this week has kind of said their piece about what's going on in the world, and if you want to say anything, you're more than welcome to.
Sure, Nazis are bad.
they're really bad.
And that's it. That's period. And if you say butt to me, I'm going to fucking kick you in your balls. Nazis are bad. There you go. It's so hard. Nazis are bad.
You have one side that's the Nazis, and you have the other side, the people that don't like Nazis. It's not hard.
Every fucking American shouldn't like Nazis.
Yeah. We did have a war about it at one point. Well, you brought up something, and I want to bring this up. We were talking about Power Rangers off-air before we started recording, and I brought up the fact that I think Goldar from the original series sounds like Triple H voiced him, and if you go back, I did my impression of, whatever you need, master. It sounds like, whatever, it's just Triple H. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put a little bit of wine in this voice. So whatever you need, Lord Zed. It sounds just like Triple H. And I was curious, are there any other cartoon characters or people from our childhood you think that resemble or remind you of wrestlers?
Honestly, I can't really think of that right now. I wish I knew more. You know what? Triple H even kind of fucking reminds me of, what's his name? Roger Klutz. And I think that just might be more apparent. What's Roger Klutz? From Doug. He's the bully.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. There's a Bo Burnham song where he makes a line about, I'm going to skeet her so much they'll call her Patty Mayonnaise.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Immediately thought of that. It's like coming full circle here, because I think Bo Burnham has a parody song called Klan Cookout. The KKK and Nazis are bad. What the fuck? That shouldn't even be a discussion we have to have in 2017. Yeah. Let's get into wrestling, though, in a conversation I hope we're not having in 2017. I just really don't think I could deal with this personally, but the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, still needs our thoughts and prayers or whatever your vibes, whatever you're into. because he's still in critical condition and he's got a lot of organ issues apparently. You know, kidneys. He's on dialysis right now. Kidneys and liver having problem. It sounds like, and conflicting reports about what he had surgery on. But at one point this week he was in a medically induced coma. So, you know, his girlfriend, I can't remember her name. She played Fifi the maid. That's all I can remember. Nancy Harlow, maybe? Is it something like that? She messaged everybody on Facebook and said that, you know, while she's there by his side, he's not out of the woods yet, essentially, and we need to keep him in our thoughts and prayers. Kind of a shitty way to start the week to find out that the Nature Boy is down. And aside from what you think about him as, you know, an individual, he's such a, you know, he's never done anything wrong. He's not really committed crimes. He's not a Nazi. So, it, you know, this is not something I want to hear about. I hope Rick pulls through.
I do too. I'm a little bit more, and I don't know if anyone thinks this is going to sound weird or selfish. I'm a little bit more concerned about Charlotte. I think that she has a very close relationship with her dad, and I'm sure this is kind of tearing her apart. And I think with her brother, unfortunately, in the circumstance that he was a couple of years ago, and with this happening, I kind of am very concerned for her well-being. But, you know, it's Rick isn't the best guy in the world, but at the same time, we don't want to. He's a legend. And it is what it is, and all you can do is just kind of hope for the best. And I hope no one is wishing any ill intent on him, and I hope he gets better. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, and we talk about legends and we talk about guys, you know, that I guess it all depends on what era you grew up in and what you were exposed to as a kid. For me, the Nature Boy was one of the first things I really gravitated to. There's just something about the smile and the way he talked that was so different.
He's pop culture. Like, there are some people who there are a lot of people who I talk to. I'm like, oh, do you watch wrestling? They're like, I've never seen wrestling a day in my life. And I'll say, oh, do you know who Shawn Michaels is? And they're like, nope. But if I say, do you know who Hulk Hogan is? They're like, yeah, I've heard of Hulk Hogan. And if I say, have you heard of Ric Flair? Everyone goes, yeah, I've heard of Ric Flair.
Yep.
Because Ric Flair is Ric Flair. He transcends wrestling. He is popular culture. He is mainstream culture. And I think him, just like someone like, you know, Roddy when he died, unfortunately, like, if anything unfortunate, obviously we don't want this to happen, unfortunate was to happen, it will be felt throughout everywhere.
Oh, yeah, it'll bring the wrestling world to a standstill. This is, you know, and not to put more weight on anybody's, you know, life or career, but Ric Flair just embodies the entire sport of professional wrestling, no matter what, you know, and that's the longevity and his ability to have success in WCW and WWE. He was around during the 80s, the 90s, the entire 2000 decade. So Rick has got that longevity and that reach. So I think it would bring the wrestling world to a standstill if we were to lose the Nature Boy right now. And so let's, you know, best wishes out to him from the entire Pro Wrestling Iowa Network family. We wish him and his family nothing but the best. And hopefully we've got good news next week when we come back here on the Mothership. Just now breaking here, actually, Darnell, over the last few hours, PW Insider, my good buddy Mike Johnson, is reporting that Shelton Benjamin has signed a brand new deal to come to WWE. So that's official. A lot of rumors flying around recently that he would be coming in, but nothing was set in stone until now. So what brand would you like to see Shelton Benjamin back on?
SmackDown, because I'd love to see him wrestle AJ Styles and Kevin Owens, and I'd love to see Shelton and Chad Gable go. I think he's a really, really good person to have in your mid-card. Shelton Benjamin is actually probably, when I was a teenager, he was probably one of my favorite wrestlers. I will always remember his match on Monday Night Raw with Shawn Michaels. He kind of killed it the best way possible, the Money in the Bank matches. Mm-hmm. I think he's a tremendous, and I remember actually seeing him in Ring of Honor a bit, actually here in New York City for, what the fuck was that match? It was him and Charlie Haas. It's two wrestlers, and I can't think of who it is, but it was like a Christmas, like, theme match. I believe it was the last show of Sami Zayn. It was El Generico and Kevin Steen in a ladder war match, and they like hit someone with a fucking Christmas tree. It was like the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my entire life. But the guy's a fucking talent, but I'd rather actually see him. So I'd like to see him on SmackDown for sure.
Other news here we got today. Southpaw Regional Wrestling returns, if you're listening to this, today, Friday. The second season, they're calling it, of Southpaw Regional Wrestling returns. Looks like Seth Rollins is making an appearance, but we're getting the return of Gallows and Anderson's characters, John Cena, Fandango, everybody. Tyler Breeze is back in it, TJP, everybody from the first run. So I'm very excited for this. I can't wait for more Lance Catamaran and the Good Brothers at Southpaw Regional Wrestling. Darnell, I can't remember. Were you a fan of the original Southpaw stuff?
I thought it was hilarious. I think to two extremes. I think the WWE, I love the WWE Network, and I spent a lot of time watching it. But I feel like they should have more documentaries, and I like that behind-the-scenes stuff. And at the same time, one of the reasons I, you know what they fucking need to have on it, and I hate to sort of divert a little bit, is Up, Up, Down, Down. Because seeing these wrestlers and, like, they're being real is so entertaining. Because most of these people, they're larger life in person. So, like, in Southpaw, seeing these wrestlers just be creative and have fun. Daniel Bryan's on this season. Natalya's on this season. New Day is on this season. It's I think that's super, super cool. And that's one of the reasons why I have the network. It's because I want to see things that I can't just see on USA.
Well, speaking of things that you can't see on USA right now or anywhere on television is Ronda Rousey, but it looks like that might be changing too, Darnell. The Wrestling Observer reported this week that she is indeed training with Brian Kendrick. Obviously, you look at Shayna Baszler being in the Mae Young Classic. Jessamine Duke is training to be a wrestler. And Marina Shafir was introduced on NXT TV as Roderick Strong's girlfriend. Do you think we're going to get a horsewomen versus horsewomen match at Survivor Series, perhaps?
I'd go for it. I don't think it needs to be a WrestleMania match. Again, we've had the conversation about WrestleMania a million times in terms of that. WrestleMania sells itself. You know, really, like, it doesn't really matter what the card is. The card could be straight booty, and you're still going to sell it out. But I think for especially Royal Rumble and Survivor Series, I think are very hard sells because now they do that sort of four-day package. And there's not – Survivor Series is not – even though they call it one of the big four, it's not really something that I think a lot of the younger crowd appeals to as much as the older crowd. I love a good elimination tag team match, but you don't really see a lot of that anymore. So I think the idea of having four horsewomen versus four horsewomen, that's a media frenzy. You know, you're going to be on every single mainstream sort of television show there is out there. And there's a lot of money to be made there. A lot of money. I'm not sure what Survivor Series is this year. But I'm all for it. I'm all for these girls. And Shayna Baszler. And I can't wait for her to show what she can do in the Mae Young Classic. Because she has gotten a lot of heat. People are like, oh, she's only in it because she's run. This girl can fucking go.
Yeah, she can. If you're familiar, she's been on the independent scene for about a year and a half now, like full-time, roughly.
And she's amazing. Yeah, she's been in great. Stardom, Shimmer. She's really fucking good.
Yeah, she's not just doing this. Like, she's all in on this, and she's amazing. I guess the one thing I see is, you know, you set up this horsewoman versus horsewoman match, and I think that obviously leads to a singles match with Ronda at WrestleMania with somebody. And I look at the roster, and I, you know, obviously Stephanie McMahon is a possibility because they have that pre-instilled angle from WrestleMania 31 if they want to go ahead and move forward with that. But I think I'd like to see her and Charlotte.
I think it's your money match. I mean, some people are going to say Asuka, but her and Charlotte is your money match. Charlotte's it's
the horsewoman versus the horsewoman. Like that's what you got to go with.
I agree.
Let's see here. In other news, this was interesting today. I saw Brie Bella did an interview with From the Top Rope podcast. Shout out to those good brothers. And she knows for a fact that her husband will eventually return to the ring, she says. Apparently, since retiring, Brian has been spending every waking moment outside of wrestling and being a father and looking for treatments to help heal his brain. And she said that there's one treatment in specific called the hyperbaric oxygen therapy. It is the use of high-pressure oxygen as a drug to treat basic pathophysiologic processes and their diseases. I didn't know this was an option, and I think this opens up a whole slew of things for guys. You know, this could this stuff be preemptive? Like, could guys take this therapy quarterly to heal? You know, this is a big question of mine. Like, this blew my mind. I didn't even know that this kind of stuff existed, so it's something I can't wait to look into more. And if Daniel Bryan is able to return, if he's able to get the go from the doctors, this could be huge.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, and Darnell, I know you're a huge fan. You kind of you read this, and then you get excited, and you just – it's wrestling. I can't get my hopes up. Nothing's – you know, like – but boy – like, obviously, if she's out there saying this, he thinks he's close then.
Oh, of course he does. Daniel Bryan is, like, he comes across as one of the most stubborn people, you know, in the fucking world. In terms of, I'm not his fucking dad. Like, do whatever the fuck you want to do. That's fine. I don't know the science behind this thing. I don't know the success rate behind this thing. I still personally think that if you're having seizures and whatever, and I don't know what's happening now in his medical help, but again, I'm not his doctor, I'm not his daddy. And, like, I mean, I guess if Bree's fine with it, she's fine with it, but I'm still going to be very uncomfortable watching him wrestle. And there's a huge part of me that does not want – I'm looking at my yes foam finger from WrestleMania 30 that's in the corner. My living room, and it still makes me feel very uncomfortable to imagine him wrestling, because I hate to say it, it all reminds me of an idea of, and I know we can't continuously think of this, but Chris Benoit, and people are saying your brain's not good, and I don't know how well you can get your brain to be that much better. Terms of what you're doing. What you're doing is constantly falling on your back, constantly bumping your head. There's not much you can do to stop that. You can change the way you wrestle, but you gotta take a fucking bump. And I don't know how comfortable I feel.
It'll be interesting.
It doesn't matter. He's gonna do what he wants.
Well, yeah. So. I think no matter what, he's going to wrestle again. At this point, I have no reason to believe he won't go to New Japan or Ring of Honor if WWE doesn't clear him and when his contract's up. It'll be something we'll have to keep an eye on, without question. Daniel Bryan, this has occupied a good space of our time for the last few years, the Daniel Bryan saga, will he or won't he? And at some point, it's got to have a finale. He's got to admit he's either not or he has to. I don't want to be covering this for the next, like, 5 years of is he coming back or not. Similar to the way everybody's talking about CM Punk suddenly. Oh, maybe he'll be coming back soon. I want to know what gives anybody that idea or that perception that he's coming back, but I don't really want to talk about Punk. What I do want to talk about, though, is a guy coming back to GFW that it just makes me chuckle. On the night that OVE, which now I found out stands for Ohio versus Everyone, which is actually amazing. Dave and Jake Chris made their debut on Impact tonight. We're recording this on Thursday. You're listening on Friday. I haven't had a chance to watch their debut, but at the tapings that are ongoing as we speak, a certain loudmouth relic from the past, a guy that, you know, I don't understand why he's actively involved in anything at 2017 with what he says on Twitter. I don't know why he would come back to a company that has a thing called a Super X Cup. But goddamn, Jim Cornette's back. He's back in GFW. Sounds like he fired the authority figure that was currently the other guy with the podcast, Bruce Pritchard, And he's now the authority figure in Impact Wrestling. So, sorry, spoiler alert. I probably should have said that beforehand, but I don't know. That one's going to get out everywhere. Jim Cornette's back. But what the fuck? Like, how is that advancing and becoming a company that's better than WWE or a company that can succeed?
I don't even know if they're trying to, I guess, the dog hear something. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. I have no interest to see. I didn't have any interest to see Jim Cornette 10 years ago, let alone right now. I don't think I can't imagine many people like being like, oh my god, Jim Cornette's back. I have got to watch GFW tonight. That's just not. That's not what's happening. And the amount of money they probably threw towards him. I mean, they could have fucking bought a broken Matt Hardy toy with all that. Like, I don't get the appeal. What is he going to add creatively? Let's be honest. Jim Cornette is one of, in the same way that Vince Russo was, in the same way that Eric Bischoff was, a great creative mind for wrestling. He really, really was for his time.
Yes, 30 years ago.
And Jim Cornette doesn't, in my opinion, doesn't have the ability to... Why are you barking at yourself because you can't get on the couch? Sorry. Jim Cornette doesn't have the ability to think outside of himself, and Jim Cornette doesn't have the ability to think in terms of 2017. Like, Jim Cornette is like basically like this weekend. It's like, wait, we're still talking about Nazis? We're still talking about Jim Cornette. Like, why? Where's the advance? The advancement going to happen for wrestling? I don't understand who was clamoring for this return. Because whoever they are, just, like, tell them to take a damn seat.
They should take several fucking seats. Yeah, I got nothing constructive to say about the tennis racketed one. But what I can say is that it doesn't encourage me to want to watch GFW.
No.
Not in the slightest. With that, I think we should throw it to our first break. And when we come back, we've got your live report from the Progress Show. I've been waiting with bated breath for this for about 6 days now. So we'll be right back. Hey guys, Dustin with the Pro Wrestling Iowa Network here. I just want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to check us out and listen to this great show. I also want to encourage you to head over to ProWrestlingIowa.net or subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, wherever you get podcasts, and give us a 5-star rating. And check out some of the other great shows like the Pro Wrestling Mothership, the Pro Wrestling Iowa Podcast, Bells in a Cell, Off the Chest of Timothy Regal, the Brady A. Desire Podcast, or the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, or any one of several pre- and post-shows we do for WWE, NXT, and all of the local independents you've come to love. I also want to encourage everyone to head over to the EMC Podcast Network. That's the Electronic Media Collective. You can find them on the internet at electronicmediacollective.com or on Twitter at EMC Pod Network or by searching Electronic Media Collective on Facebook. I want to encourage all of you to head over to tpublic.com right now and pick up your very own Pro Wrestling Iowa Podcast t-shirt. And I also want to encourage everyone who's listening to this to click in the description below and click on that Amazon.com link. That's going to take you to Amazon.com. You can buy anything you want, and at no extra cost to you, we're going to get credit for you purchasing something there, and we're going to get a little bit of a kickback. And if you're as into graphic tees as I am, I want to encourage you to head over to RippedApparel.com right now. That's RippedApparel. They're a graphic tee, limited edition, custom t-shirts, outlet. You're going to find great designs from hundreds of artists. And if you go there now and use the promo code ProWrestlingIowa, all one word, that's ProWrestlingIowa, you're going to get 10% off at checkout. You can't really lose there. Most often their shirts are $13, so you're looking at under a $12 shirt by using promo code ProWrestlingIowa. It's a win-win for you and a win for us as well. So thank you for listening to the show.
We'll be right back after this break.
Hey guys, this is Zigman and Zach Takis, and when you finish it up listening to this great podcast, make sure you head on over and check out Shotgun Wrestling Radio.
That's right, we're new to the EMC Podcast Network. Over at Shotgun Wrestling Radio, we give you the latest news in professional wrestling.
That's right, we cover WWE, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, and more. Want to know what's going on in the events in the Iowa Independence Scene? We cover that too with our pro wrestling calendar.
That's right, Zigman, not only do we cover that, but we also have a wide variety of interviews with pro wrestlers, both past and present. All our interviews can be found on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Shotgun Radio and the number one.
We hope you'll take the time to give us a listen, and remember to give us a like and follow on Twitter and Facebook at Shotgun Radio and the number one.
All right, everybody, and thank you for joining us on the Pro Wrestling Mothership. I am your host, ProWrestlingIowa.net Editor-in-Chief Dustin Smothers, and I'm joined with the fabulous fashionista Darnell Mitchell. And Darnell, you were at Progress in New York City. There was a lot of information coming out of Progress in New York City. I'm going to step back and give you the floor. I want to hear your live report on the good and the bad of Progress in New York City.
Great. Actually, I'm going to take a little turn just because I want to talk about this first so I can really delve into Progress. I just want to talk on the other side, UK news. This Sunday, it's going to be awesome in Hackney on Professional Wrestling. The Man Who Would Be King. First time ever. It's her debut show. Chuck Mambo's going to be there. Chuck Mambo, Roy Johnson, Pastor William Ever, Zapp Gibson, Cal Ashmore, Matt Walters, Ginny, Sebastian, and Jack Sexsmith. So they are, it looks like an awesome card. I really, really wish I was there. I always wish I was there, so that's the way it is. But that's Hackney this Sunday, and I can't wait to talk about the results about that next week. But let's talk about Progress Wrestling in New York City. So let's give you a little bit of background. I went to the show with a friend of mine named Danielle. I met Danielle during Progress this year, actually. I think I might have told you about her. She was a person on Cult of Kayfabe, and I saw her. She's like 6'3", blonde. Tattooed, she's pretty fucking easy to find. And like, I walked up to her and I was like, hey, I've seen you online. My name's Darnell officially. We talked, we became friends, blah. So she was coming up for the show with her husband, David, who's very, very nice. So I helped them get into the city. Once we got to the city, we walk in and it's kind of a whoosh of air and we're kind of like, oh fuck, it's a little hot in here. Whatever, we get our bleacher seats. Show starts. The place is fucking packed. Jim comes out to a thunderous applause. I'm actually sitting next to where Glenn Joseph, who does commentary and also one of the creators, and John Briley, one of the creators, are. I'm literally right next to them. So on like most shots that are kind of like camera side, you'll see me like sitting on the bleachers, probably fanning myself. Jim comes out. He thinks the crowd, 1,500 people.
Wow.
1,500 people in this Queens place, in this youth center. That's actually normally a basketball center. Hey, Pete Dunne opens up the show. If you did not know, actually, we should have fucking talked about that, too. Pete Dunne got injured the night before in Brooklyn at Battle Crow because this guy named Darius Carter apparently doesn't know how to fucking wrestle, which is I've never heard of the guy, and now I've heard awful things about him. He even said to my friend Danielle, who was there, he called her a fucking rat. She's like, I'm fucking married. Shut the fuck up. But he did a pedigree on the belt. He did not unhook Pete Dunne's arms. And Pete Dunne has 11 stitches. So Pete Dunne came out looking mighty fine in those velvet slippers and talked about owning Progress, you know, his usual shtick. And Jack Gallagher, his original person, came out. Zach Gibson came out to talk to Jack Gallagher. The amount of boos that I heard from Zach Gibson was incredible. It was like Vicky Guerrero level heat. Zach and Jack have a sort of background because they used to be tag team partners together. And then they opened up the show with a really, really, really fun match. One of the best spots are actually Jack Gallagher goes for a suicide dive to the outside. Zach Gibson catches him and hits a brainbuster on the outside. Gallagher, of course, gets to win the match. Other cute moment is Jack Gallagher says to Pete Dunne actually in the beginning, because Pete Dunne keeps cursing, he goes, "Hey, watch your fucking mouth." and he says, "Wrestle." "Ooh, hey, I haven't said wrestle in a while. It feels good to say that word." And he even walks out doing a Vince McMahon fucking walk, which is kind of amazing. Next match is Ginny Deonna Purrazzo making her progress debut against Dahlia Black and Dakota Kai. Dakota Kai is also making her progress debut. Dakota Kai also is clearly very, very hot and sort of fanning herself throughout the entire match. Great little match. There's a great part where Ginny and Deonna hit sort of back-and-back German suplexes. And in a surprising sort of way, Deonna actually is the one who got the pin on Dahlia Black, I believe. I did not think that that was going to happen. I thought they were going to give Dakota Kai the win because she's a WWE girl, so it is what it is. Next match, Timothy Thatcher against Donovan Dijak to become the number one contender for the Progress Atlas Championship. We all kind of figured it was going to be Timothy because, Dijak is supposedly signed with NXT, so he's making his last sort of independent run. So we're all kind of like, all right, this is what's going to happen. Solid match. You start to notice during the match how sweaty the guys are. Mm-hmm. And there are moves where they are literally slipping on each other.
Yikes.
And it's just kind of like, oh, like they try to do a spot where he jumps on his, Timothy jumps on his back for like a sleeper hold. And Donovan continuously has to lift him up because he's sliding off of his back.
Oh, wow.
Timothy wins, gets the number one contendership. Ooh. Can you hear that?
Hear what?
Oh, it just started making, like, noise. it started making music on my screen. Timothy gets the win and becomes number one contender for the Progress Atlas Championship. Next event. It is – actually, this is really, really fucking fun. It is Joey Janela's Progress debut against Jimmy Havoc. There were some ridiculous spots in this match. The one spot, which I believe I put on Pro Wrestling Iowa, is when Joey's sitting in the corner, sitting in a chair. Jimmy goes up, does a monkey flip, and Joey does a flip with the chair, still seating, which was kind of fucking amazing. Joey, Jimmy hits what do you call that move? Almost like a fallaway slam. I can't think of why I'm thinking of, I can't think of the name of the move. A fallaway slam to the outside through a table. They hit a spot where Jimmy hits a Canadian destroyer from the top rope onto steel chairs that are set up. They even hit a spot with cinder blocks that are there, and Jimmy does a back body drop off of that. The finish is really fucking weird because Jimmy pulls off Joey's boot and socks, bites his toes, puts thumbtacks in the ring, and then does an atomic drop onto the thumbtacks, on his bare feet, which just looked awful, and then hits the Rainmaker for the 1-2-3. Then we go to intermission. During intermission, my friend Danielle, she goes up and she goes to the merch table. I see, because Helen is there. Helen, I love Helen. She's the merch lady for Progress Wrestling, so I see her all the time. I got a good, awesome shirt, which is kind of cool. And then I don't see Danielle for the rest of the show, which to me is like weird, but I'm not trying to like get up and look for her because it's too fucking hot. So I'm just like, all right, well, I guess I'll just see her at the end of the show, not really knowing what's going on. So then we go to, it was originally supposed to be Mark Haskins, Mark Andrews, and Zach Gibson in a triple threat. Jim adds Austin Theory instead, who I've never seen wrestle before, who fucking killed it. And then he says, you know what, fuck it, let's make this a four-way, and adds Keith motherfucking Lee. Keith bumps his ass off for everybody, which is really, really funny to see. There is an incredible tower, you know, that Tower of Doom spot?
Oh, yeah.
But instead of it going into a superplex, Mark Haskins is holding up Mandrew, still in the suplex, while Keith Lee is holding them both up and walking in the ring. Like, I've never seen anyone do that before. And then he hits a powerbomb on both of them. It's just pure strength.
Bask in that glory.
It was amazing. And then Mark Haskins actually ends up getting the win for the 1-2-3. Then we go to the tag team match. It's Travis Banks and TK Cooper. The South Pacific Power Trip against British Strong Style. Pete Dunne comes out to ring with them. The match is probably 5 minutes into it. TK goes to hit a corkscrew moonsault off the top rope. You could tell he slipped slightly, and he kind of slides off their back, and they don't really are able to catch him. And his ankle is not in the right direction anymore. Jim kind of, everyone stops the show. Glenn jumps up, goes to see him. We're all very quiet. Dahlia comes out, and unfortunately she's crying. He's clearly very, very injured. Wrestlers come out and they pick him up and they take him out of the building. And you also heard that wrestlers come out to pick him up, to take him out of the building. There was no stretcher available. So they take him out of the building. You could see a lot of hoopla going by, especially because where I'm sitting, I'm seeing Jim constantly communicate to like John and them. And then Travis just says, I still want to fight. And they basically just have the match as a handicap match, which Travis ends up winning. The main event is Matt Riddle versus Walter, which was the match I was looking forward to the most. The hard hitting as shit, both of their chests incredibly red. Matt Riddle was a dude. Actually, I ended up meeting a guy who is on Twitter, who I followed on Twitter, who was standing beside me the entire time. He's does a Twitter handle called A Gay Mark, because he's gay. Yeah. And he ended up giving, I don't know if I can talk about that, Matt some herbal refreshments. And we ended up actually taking a cab back home because he lived on the Upper West Side, lived on the Upper East Side, and we ended up having a drink for like 2 hours, which is really, really funny. Really fucking random. It's like, who do you meet at wrestling shows? Matt actually regained his Progress Atlas Championship, becoming the first ever two-time Progress Champion. Great, really, really, really good fun show. I had a blast. But now we have to talk about the other stuff that you probably heard.
Yes.
So, apparently, I don't know this for a fact, but apparently, the bleachers alone are just supposed to hold 1,000. The capacity of the arena is 626, supposedly.
Okay.
There were 1,500 people in there.
Yikes.
I have never been so hot in my life. And also, for any fucking wrestling fan that's tweeting, like, well, this is fucking independent wrestling. It's supposed to be like this. No, it's not.
It's like that the same argument people gave when I said, you know, Disco Inferno shouldn't say that shit. And they're like, well, it's fucking wrestling. It's not going to change. Wrestling can change. Wrestling can be better.
Yeah, exactly. Remember how we got rid of Nazis 40 years ago? Let's do it again. That's not, especially one person in particular who was tweeting, who I will not say their name. You know better than that. You know better than that. And I did it. She almost seemed like it was gleeful that these people were really, really hot. And when I say it was really, really hot, as in like I fanned myself the entire show.
Let's just say somebody was jelly, they weren't there. And that seems to be the running theme.
Yeah, well, you know, sucks to be her. My friend, Danielle, who I talked about, who went and left during intermission, she passed out at the merch table.
Oh, it was your friend who passed out?
My friend was one of the ones who passed out.
Oh,
she was
shit.
One who
I
went
that.
To the show. Yeah, I went to the show with her, and she passed out at the merch table while getting stuff. So she was outside the rest of the show. So when I left and I saw her, I was like, what the fuck happened? She was like, I passed out. I was like, oh my God, I heard someone pass out the merch table. I just figured you went to go stand up there because it was cooler. Mm. I had no idea. Also during the TK match, another fan passed out. Unfortunately, when he passed out, I guess your body does things naturally. There was a little bit of diarrhea. But he was, like, done for. And Trent Seven, like, grabbed a water bottle, was fanning him as much as possible.
Jesus.
TK also said at the Boston show, apparently, because he still went to the show, he said that one of the reasons why I definitely slipped was because it was so hot and I slipped on sweat from the top of the turnbuckle.
Jesus.
I also sat there and I watched, and I, like, I don't really know fucking Jim. Like, I'm not gonna act like, you know, like, he, like, if he saw me, he knows who I am. He knows I'm the fucking kid from New York. And I actually talked to Glenn over Twitter because we follow each other, and like, he's really, really cool with me. And I was talking to him about some stuff, and Gabe, what's his name? Gabe Sapolsky.
Gabe Sapolsky, yeah, from Evolve. Cool.
Yes, from Evolve, who runs these WWN shows, apparently is the one who booked the venue. He gave out this report that everything was up to standards, ambulance was there. You know, the doctor was there, though it took quite a bit for a doctor to come out for TK, about 8 minutes. And if there's a doctor on the scene, it shouldn't take that long. I also sat there and I watched him call 911 on his cell phone. So clearly there wasn't an ambulance immediately outside of the arena, because you wouldn't be calling 911 on your cell phone.
Right.
And you don't have a stretcher. And Keith Lee, Donovan Dijak, and Mark Haskin came out to pick up TK Cooper, who was still fucking smiling. So yeah, also, if you haven't heard of TK and Dahlia Black, they are a couple. They're amazing. I would suggest looking at their stuff off of Progress, looking up their stuff, whatever you can find, and please go and buy their shirts to support them, because that would be really, really cool. It was just kind of, it was an, oh, and then as we're all leaving, I didn't even notice this, there's water all over the walls of the entire arena, because it's like dripping. There's water all near the, where the merch table is. They actually ran out of bottled water when we got in the building.
Yikes. That's a situation where somebody needs to get their ass out there and go buy up as many many cases of bottled water and keep going back and keep going back. Exactly. And getting more. That's some absolute bullshit.
The random guy who was sitting next to us literally said to us, because he saw we had phone chargers, he was like, I'll buy everyone here bottles of water at the deli if I can use your phone charger, if you can just watch my stuff. We were like, sure, and he went out and he bought us all bottles of water. And this is in the first 20 minutes.
Jesus.
I ended up getting water during, like, intermission, but I'm just like, well, you know, people have already passed out. This is no blame on John and Glenn and Jim, and Gabe says the show wasn't oversold, but I don't know, when you continuously say that it's 1500 people and when you look up stuff and it doesn't house 1500 people, I'm gonna assume it's fucking oversold, which is great for Progress, but Gabe has got to stop being so goddamn cheap, because every single place that we go to doing WrestleMania is so fucking cheap. It's so fucking cheap. That's not, they were very, very lucky. Which is weird to say that they were very lucky that only one wrestler broke his ankle and two people passed out.
Yeah. No, it's like it's a bad situation all around. But the key here is to learn from it. And I'm assuming the guys... sorry, I don't know where my voice is going. I assume the guys at Progress have learned from this experience. And the next time they come to the United States, maybe they'll reevaluate the way they do it and you know, who they work with, perhaps, and not to...
Well, they're already working with Gabe, because they are actually having two shows at a WrestleMania next year. I think April, like, 6th and 7th or something. Two back-to-back shows. Well, so I think it's on Thursday, Friday.
At least that's WrestleMania weekend, and the, you know, things are going to be in a much better situation Mania weekend. Hopefully, you would think so. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about in the British scene?
No, I do recommend whenever, I'm sure they're going to put it on Progress and Demand. I do recommend you go watch the show. It was a really, really, really fun time. And I love Progress Wrestling. So it doesn't, hinder my love of Progress Wrestling whatsoever, because I put no blame on them.
You can't even get down on Progress when we've went to a WrestleMania before where there have been issues with concessions and not enough food and people getting nearly trampled in the corridors getting to their seats before the show. So, you know, not condoning it, but it's not like even WWE is able to get through a large show without some issues.
Yes. But I think that, I don't want to say it was a rude awakening, because it's not like that, but I think that they've realized that there was some issues, mm-hmm. and they've got to get better. And the entire time, whenever something happened, I will say that all three of the guys were on it immediately, running around like madmen to do this. So again, it's no representation of what Progress was. It was a really, really unfortunate turn of events. It's just so weird. It's weird. Sorry, it's still going about. It's even weird. Like when I'm reading tweets about people being like, there's one tweet. I'm not gonna say what it said, but it said something about my friend's personal medical history. And they were just like, well, this person had... I was like, no, but that ain't none of your fucking business.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't sort of have anything to do with whether or not it was too fucking hot in there.
Yeah, doesn't have anything to do with the person's medical condition. I'm sure they've been to plenty of wrestling shows and not passed out before.
Exactly.
Darnell, well, let's transition over to the meat and potatoes of this week's episode here. It's SummerSlam week. In the WWE universe, is it official? Are you going to either of these shows?
I am not. It is my friend's birthday, and I have to finally fucking go see her for her birthday. So I will not. So I won't be here for the NXT show. So I have to go out Saturday night, but I will be here to do a post show for SummerSlam.
Let's dive in here. Let's talk NXT TakeOver. You look back a few months ago and it looked as if NXT was going to be in trouble. Like, how are they going to rebuild? They've lost Nakamura. They lost a lot of their big stars. They've managed to rebound and rebound well. This card is stacked, Darnell. What are you looking forward to the most?
For NXT?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Amber and Asuka.
Yeah.
Oh, can we fucking... Did we talk about that?
We will. I figured we'd talk about that when we got to that match here. Let's run through the card. Let's give our predictions, and we can definitely talk at depth about the historic reign of Asuka as NXT Women's Champion. First up, though, on the show, according to WWE, we've got Aleister Black versus Hideo Itami. Aleister Black's supposed to get a huge entrance, I guess, for this show, and it's NXT's WrestleMania is what Triple H called it on a conference call this week, so I think everybody's going to get some big entrances, Bobby Roode for sure. This match, though, this is a perfect pairing. I don't know that these two have ever squared off with one another. This, I think, is a dream match. If you look at independent wrestling over the last decade, two guys that you'd like to see in the ring together, very similar styles, a lot of kicking, a lot of striking, and a lot of mixed martial arts background, offense and defense from both of these guys. I think Aleister Black is on a roll, and I think Hideo Itami is going to do the favor to him here. I think we'll see Hideo Itami up on the main roster sooner than later.
I agree. I know that for Aleister is actually a huge fan of Hideo Itami, and he's loved him for like the past 15 years, and he's taken a lot of inspiration from him. So I'm sure to him, he's just kind of like kicking himself, like, holy shit. And another thing about the two of them that I think is very interesting is that they do a lot without speaking.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks ago
when Hideo wouldn't leave the ring and Aleister came out and Hideo looked like he was going to take off, but then was going to sneak attack him and he hit Black Mass and knocked him the fuck out and just sat there.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
It's, they both have very, very distinct yet similar styles, and I think that, I think this is the opening match, and it should be the opening match. I think it's...
I think that Gargano Almas should be the opening match.
Oh, I forgot about that match.
I do think that. I'm doing them in order that WWE has them on their site, but I think Gargano and Almas should be the opener.
Oh yeah, Almas is an opener type of guy.
Well, but I think Johnny Wrestling is the type of guy you want to put out there. But
I think I say Aleister should get the win. I think Hideo at this point, like, you didn't do the quote unquote feud that you were really, really going to do with him and Ono. That's not leading to a takeover. So at this point, he might as well be the guy that you bring up on, I assume, Raw for the Monday Night Raw after SummerSlam. So
I would like it. Next up, Johnny Gargano versus Andrade Cien Almas, and he's got Zelina Vega, or Zelina Vega, I think is her name.
Trina.
Trinidad. What? I can't pronounce it. Trina Fenidad? Trina...
Trinidad.
Okay, I got it. It's not... I'm kidding. I don't know her new name, though. She's got a new name.
I don't know her new name, too. Hold on, honestly. Look this up.
That's bothering me. It's got to be in here. But Zelina Vega.
Zelina Vega. Is she like related to like the Street Fighter?
Savio Vega.
But
you got Johnny Gargano's debut as a singles competitor in NXT, though. I think this is it's his match. Johnny's gonna pick up the victory here.
I know. It just sucks for Cien Almas. I think he deserves a takeover win, but at the same time, it still corresponds with the thing that I had said when he first got injured, or when Ciampa got injured, is have sort of Gargano go on a roll, and get to the point where he's going to get that championship match and have Ciampa be the one to screw it all up for him. So I guess you give Gargano the win for sure.
Next up, we have the NXT Tag Team titles on the line. The Authors of Pain with Paul Ellering defend against Sanity, who will have Nikki Cross and one of the members of Sanity in their corner. This one's hard to pick. I'm going to go with the Authors of Pain. When you have a heel versus a heel team, I don't feel like you do a title change then. It's just sort of anticlimactic, especially not a pair of guys like Akam and Razor that you want to have some underdog baby faces topple, and I think I know the exact team to do that.
Who are you gonna say, Red Dragon?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. I do want to see Sanity go somewhere.
Well, I think Sanity's going to the main roster. I think they're ready. There's no sense in keeping them in NXT. I don't think.
I don't think so either. The only thing is that I feel like what two people are only going to flourish in that group.
I think all three of them except Alexander Wolf will. I think Killian Dane, Eric Young, and Nikki Cross are all going to succeed. I say put them on SmackDown.
I say put them on SmackDown too. But like, I still don't see, and I haven't seen the appeal necessarily in Eric Young. I get like what he brings in terms of he knows wrestling, he knows storytelling, but Nikki is your breakout star of that group, and I don't think anyone can fucking deny that. That woman embodies that fucking wrestler, and I think Killian Dane is. So I think they're gonna flourish the most personally, but I think you the went to Authors of Pain and continue to have them because it also doesn't make any sense until you can build up more tag teams.
Well, you've got the Street Profits just came in and they're hot with the crowd in NXT, and I think you build them up and you could have them ready by the Survivor Series takeover.
Survivor. I thought you said September. I was like, oh, that's really quick. yeah, and then you can have them potentially lose the belts Mania or Royal Rumble takeover.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Next up, we have the NXT Women's Championship on the line as Asuka, in her, by the time you're listening to this, 504th day of her epic run, she is now the longest reigning champion in modern history of any belt, NXT Raw or SmackDown. She's taking on Ember Moon. And there's an eclipse on Monday. I think there's going to be a total eclipse on Saturday night. I think Ember Moon absolutely takes the title and ends Asuka's run. And then I think you strike while the iron's hot here with Asuka, too. You've got all these Mae Young Classic girls coming in. You got room to make. You got to make some room here. Asuka, see you on the main roster. I think Raw needs her so bad right now.
I think a couple of things. First of all, congratulations. It's a tremendous... it's a tremendous sort of accolade. I don't think anyone
thought that. You don't think she's a paper champion?
Who is that?
I don't know. I just saw the comment. I didn't see who made it on the Pro Wrestling Iowa Facebook page. But yeah, somebody.
But you saw how. Sorry. I'm sure you're a great person. Hey, thank you for following us on Pro Wrestling Iowa. Like, you know me. I wanted to be so sassy. And I was just like, you know what? Let's not be that person. I hope X.
Not today, y'all, Satan.
Y'all have no. Y'all. When I say y'all, I mean listeners. I try so hard. And I hold back so much because I know I'm just like, in my head, I'm just like, oh, I know I'm a cunt. Like, and I'm, even though I'm a part of Pro Wrestling Iowa, like, I'm the fucker that lives in New York City, so I try to, like, keep my shit together. I can't take full credit for this. But you know what match I can't wait to see?
What's that?
Asuka versus Natty. You know why? Because we'll get a total eclipse of Neidhart.
You mean Ember Moon? Yeah, Ember Moon.
Oh, shit!
Not Asuka.
Edit! No.
Did you hear that the singer, Total Eclipse of the Heart singer, she's going to be singing it somewhere during the eclipse?
That's fucking amazing. No, but yeah, it's time.
Around.
I honestly, and I actually said this on our Facebook page that you can. I don't think that she should come out. Apparently, she has some nagging injuries. I think take care of that shit. Raw needs to figure out what it wants to actually do with its division first. Because I think that even having her up there, what's the point? You got four other women that you don't use.
Right.
So
you got four. Yeah, you got four women you're not using properly. Four women you don't use. And.
So, like, what's kind of the point? So I would rather see her come up around Survivor Series.
Okay.
Because I still think, you know, she still has a happy match.
Yeah, well, for sure. And I think that could happen on an actual episode of NXT if you want to. But, no, we're both in agreement. So here that Ember Moon walks out with the title Saturday night.
And I think deservedly so.
Mm-hmm. And finally, a match that – and I have to admit – and this makes me feel awful. This summer, I got very busy. I haven't had as much time to give to wrestling. I've been trying to make as many live shows as I can. And I admit it on Facebook. I admit it on Twitter. I haven't kept up on NXT until about the last 2 weeks. I've been out of the loop. I watched Chicago Takeover. I just knew what happened. I picked up the pieces. I haven't seen Drew McIntyre have a match yet. I haven't watched any Drew McIntyre matches since he returned to NXT. He's challenging for the NXT title this Saturday night against the Glorious One. I am the Glorious Guy, Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode retains on Saturday night because Bobby Roode is glorious.
I don't really remember a lot of his matches. Drew Galloway is also – what's his name? Drew McIntyre is also someone during WrestleMania weekend, I haven't seen him like that close because I was front row for that show. I'd love to see I wonder if that was taped, that WrestleCon, because I'd love to see that.
Was. Yeah, it's on High Spots.
That man, like, woo! Put him. Ooh, he's huge, like gorgeous, but. I never really like he's a guy that's there for me. Like, I know you're good, but like, I know you're good. I know you're real good. Sorry, I'm taking Kevin's gimmick.
La, 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 la.
I know he's good, but it's like, I think he wrestled Cassius. No, he wrestled someone with another hard hitting style.
Cassius.
Oh, Orny Larkin.
Cassius Ohno.
I think he wrestled Orny Lorcan, and that was a really fucking good match. But, of course, because Orny Lorcan is having the best matches out of anyone on fucking NXT goddamn week.
You guys, hey, NXT or anybody from there, Triple H, you're not listening, but if you want to add, I guess his name is Danny Burch, the Govna, if you want to add Danny Burch versus Orny Lorcan to TakeOver, I don't think anybody's going to complain.
No, not at all. And I also think that the TakeOver pay-per-view should be 3 hours. I think 2 hours is too short. And I think they have a lot of fucking talent. Like, you hadn't seen Billy Kay and them. I wanted to see Ruby Riott.
Maybe that's who should come up after SummerSlam, is you've been doing nothing with the Iconic Duo.
Oh, yes. I think they should come up and they should be on.
I'm starting to come around on Billy Kay, man.
They're good.
And well, no, I really never thought she wasn't good. I honestly, and I'm not vain. You remember? I just
don't. Like,
her look.
Don't even say
no. Her look. There was something about her look I just didn't care for.
She still has one of the best motherfucking theme songs.
Yes, but the more and more, like, I watch the two of them together, the more and more I think about what is possible. They're Lay Cool version 2.0, and they could be so much better than Lay Cool. I'm all in for this. Yep, I'm all in for this. I want them on the main roster, and I want them on the main roster tormenting Bayley. Like, that's what Bayley needs right now, is just two women who are tormenting her. Sasha turns on her. Nobody's there to help Bayley anymore, and then the iconic duo come in to ruin her fall, her winter, and then Bayley can hopefully overcome them. Did you pick a winner in the Bobby Roode match?
Oh, I don't. It's sad that I don't give a shit. But Bobby Roode. Also, what do you think about this? Because I was talking to someone on Cult of Kayfabe. Do you think it's an issue if Asuka main events?
No.
She's never main evented ever in NXT, and more than likely, it's her last match.
Yeah, never.
Like,
never
I think you give, and even if people are like, oh, well, it clearly shows he's going to win. It's like, well, I mean, like, The Undertaker wrestles all the time, but we knew he was going to win at least 20 times. Like, well,
and then they put The Undertaker really on last and have him ruin the night at WrestleMania.
That's true. But that's like a feel. There could be a feel good. Some people probably could get mad at Asuka losing. But, like, I think you could even sell it as 503 days as a champion. She deserves a main event.
Yeah.
Like,
and by then, you're looking at 505 days. So, yeah. I mean, she deserves it. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Darnell, let's go ahead and take our second break, and when we come back, we've got a packed SummerSlam card. There are 13 fucking matches on this show.
Really?
13. 13.
I'm kind of glad I'm not going now.
See, and here's the weird thing, really. I'll save it for after the break. Something pisses me off. I'll be right back.
In the future, roving bands of comic book podcasts will savage the wasteland, once known as the Internet. One podcast, the Grawlix Podcast, may not be the biggest, may not be the funniest, may not be the most well-spoken. Wait, what was my point again? Oh yes, the Grawlix Podcast. Listen to it at GrawlixPodcast.com. That's GRAWLIX Podcast.com.
All right, Darnell, we're back. We're here on the Mothership on the Pro Wrestling Iowa Network. I'm Dustin Smothers. You're Darnell Mitchell. One thing that really pisses me off, and I talk about this every year, is that WrestleMania is the granddaddy of them all. Like, it's the biggest show of the year. It's got so much pomp and circumstance. They've got time. They've got room. They've got fans there who are more than willing to watch 13 matches. SummerSlam, though, is the most stacked card, typically. It's the most filled out card. It's not, oh, throw everybody in a battle royal to get them on the show. It's like, no, a lot of people have interesting, meaningful storylines right now, or their matches like Orton and Rusev, that makes sense. They're just a contender match. These two guys, Randy just lost the WWE title, Rusev's back, he wants a shot. Well, here you go, guys. Get it on at SummerSlam. WrestleMania, on the other hand, I feel like a lot of times this shit is just thrown together. Like, where's the disconnect? Why do they not build WrestleMania up the way they seem to always build fucking SummerSlam up?
Because SummerSlam is a wrestling show, and a SummerSlam is meant to mark out the diehard wrestling fans, and WrestleMania is entertainment.
Okay, well, starting next year, I'm going to get a new job, because as it stands right now, I work in higher education, and I cannot take any time off around SummerSlam, which always means I work on my birthday, too, so this is more motivation. I'm going to stop going to WrestleMania. Because honestly, I'd rather come see this show.
It's also,
I get to hang out with you in New York.
I mean, obviously.
And go with you on one of your three or four trips a year to Brooklyn?
That is true. Yeah, that is true. And it's also really, really easy to get there. Like, I love that fucking arena. And it's also, you've never been to New York City. There's a lot of stuff for you to do in a week. I love my WrestleMania trips, and a lot of that has to do with 90% of
the people
being the people. But a lot of those shows, barring like Shimmer, I can see it some other time during the year. Evolve is not. Evolve is in New York sometimes.
Right.
Like, you know, I can go see Evolve. Like, I'm bougie. I can go to London.
See, thank you for being somebody who can actually use the term bougie and use it correctly.
Oh, there are people. Oh, no.
Shade. Let's go ahead and dive into the SummerSlam card. They added another fucking match today. I don't know if you saw this.
Yeah.
On the kickoff show, it's a six-man tag. The Hardy Boys and Jason Jordan versus The Miz and The Miztourage. If the first time on Raw wasn't enough, don't worry. You can see it again this Sunday on the kickoff show. This has got to be The Miz and The Miztourage getting their win back.
Yeah, you also know who just... Oh, spoiler. Who also went back to GFW tonight, and I didn't realize it.
The Hardy Boys? Oh.
No, Taryn Terrell. I thought she, like,
who the fuck
found
is
religion.
That?
Taryn Terrell?
I'm just kidding. She used to be married to Drew McIntyre. He's the reason he got fired.
Yes, but she also had those great matches with Gail Kim.
Okay, fair enough. Yes, I do recall those now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's around to hear it, did it really fall down?
Well, I mean, but she was, like, super religious, and she didn't want to do the character because Jesus.
Well, maybe she's going to come in as Mary Magdalene. You don't know this.
Keep going.
Who you got The Miz and The Miztourage in this one? Is that what I'm thinking?
No, Jason Jordan. They're trying to get Jason Jordan in fucking as much like...
Hey, look, he's with the Hardys. Don't boo him, please.
Exactly. When what they should be doing, if they were fucking smart, they would turn Kurt Angle basically... They would turn him against Kurt Angle and kind of have him use Kurt Angle's being his father.
I would say you build this up where, like, we're in on it as the fans that he's lying to Kurt about being related. Like, this was all, like, Jason actually set this up to get ahead in the company. Like, and whatever reason, like, we know it. And Kurt's just oblivious, refuses to accept it. And you can't fault him, you know, because he's just a proud dad and he doesn't see it. But we all know, and we hate Jason, and Kurt's so confused. Why? And then Kurt kind of, maybe Kurt's going to turn on the fans because we're booing his son, and Kurt can't believe, you know, I can handle you saying I suck, but you can't boo my son. And then just when Kurt's about to do the worst thing he could possibly do, it's revealed. Kurt, you are not the father! And, like, everyone freaks out. Jason Jordan freaks out, like, and then suddenly you've got this ultra mega heel dude who's the biggest piece of shit ever, and all he does is run around and smile and wear singlets, and he's like totally interesting, and you know, motherfucker.
I agree with all that. I'm here for it.
I mean, you could even get Maury Povich. Like, you have to get Maury Povich.
You've already made this
the stupidest fucking angle since Katie Vick.
I think that's saying a lot.
I think it's the
You should have died in the womb.
Oh, yeah. Like, that was bad. Also,
Kurt Angle sells this entire story, though.
Yeah.
Because Kurt Angle seems genuine whenever... Actually, when the two of them are looking at each other, they seem genuine as shit. Like, they both look like, you're my fucking dad. They really fucking do. They, like, play it off surprisingly well.
Yeah.
Jason Jordan
can't play a babyface to save his life, though, in a singles role.
I don't think so either. I don't know how much you can play a heel, but you know what? Time, you know what?
Hey, if we all know that he forged a birth certificate or some shit, like, maybe Corey Graves' telephone can tell us some more bullshit, or maybe that's who attacked Fandango and Tyler Breeze, because they know the truth, because the truth is out there. On Fashion Peaks, man.
Okay, next match.
We've got another rematch from Monday Night Raw. WWE Cruiserweight Champion Akira Tozawa versus Neville, who was unceremoniously knocked off his perch on Monday night. This file this under shit. I don't understand why they would do this. I don't know why you don't do this title change on the main show. But here we are. God, it'd be stupid to take the belt off Tozawa, so I'm going to pick Tozawa foolishly, even though I know in my heart Neville's just going to probably win it back.
Oh, no, I think it's going to be Tozawa. I think that they I make it in whatever, tomfoolery, in a DQ, which I'm not, I don't have a problem with 13 matches in that, and one of them ending with a DQ. But I think they have really good chemistry, and I think it's really, really good for Neville's character, and I think, you know, I'd have the feud continue. So, because that can, you know, give him some time at Night of Champions or Clash of Champions, whatever they're going to do next, and which is always one of my favorite shows. I don't know why. But, yeah, so.
Is Titus Worldwide over with you?
I think he gets really fucking close when, like, they're on the outside. I was like, dude, like, back up, motherfucker. You're damn near kissing this motherfucker. I like Titus as, like, a person. And I like the idea of a manager who is, like, it makes sense. He basically got him a tag team match before the scheduled time. He got him a rematch. He got him, like, he's the only one who's, like, a manager besides Paul Heyman that right. seems like he's actually trying to manage,
mm-hmm.
Which I very much so appreciate that effort.
Agreed. And, you know, it wouldn't hurt any fans of Dragon Gate out there. I'd be very pleased to see Apollo Crews and Akira Tozawa make a run at the tag titles, I'm sure, as well. SmackDown tag team titles have been relegated to the fucking pre-show. One of my favorite feuds going right now, the New Day defending against the Usos, has been relegated to the fucking pre-show. New Day picks up the victory here.
I don't think in cases like that, it's also, like, the worst thing in the world. You've got 13 fucking matches. I can tell you from experience from last year at SummerSlam, I don't remember half those matches. I don't remember, like, there was probably 10 matches last year. I don't remember 75% of those matches. So the things that you're actually going to end up remembering the most are the things that get you hot. So I think it being one of the first matches, because you're like, oh, shit, we're starting. Like, that can also sometimes be beneficial, and sometimes it can be a hindrance. But I think with how good those two work with one another, it will be beneficial. New Day retains, obviously, but I hope Usos continue to be a very dominant heel tag team.
I hope so, too. Moving over to the main show, we have The Demon, Finn Balor, not to be mistaken with the real Rock and Rolla Finn Balor, versus Bray Wyatt. Another rematch from Monday Night Raw. God, couldn't you have done the match on Raw like a month ago? And that's how you get to this point? It's like they woke up on Monday and were like, shit! I mean, is he just gonna come out in the demon paint for no fucking reason? Oh shit, we gotta... like, what the fuck was this?
I don't mind it. I'm just glad to see the demon. It's been a long time.
One other really quick thing I've got a gripe about from Monday night.
Our negative Nancy.
Why the fuck did Bray Wyatt have to turn the lights out to get out of the ring and pick up a bucket of blood? Like, wouldn't it have been cooler if the fucking lights went out and then when they came back on, Finn was covered in the blood already? I don't know. It's not like they haven't done this gimmick before.
But you can say that about anything about Bray Wyatt, really.
I said last night, I was doing that Twitch thing with Jeff Dewis, and Bray Wyatt, with the moment they decided he was the next Undertaker is when they fucked up.
Mm.
He should just be a fucking backwoods cult leader.
That Amber Moon render was... ooh. She was darker than chocolate. Like, can I have my mocha venti? there was no caramel macchiato in that.
I don't know if I'm allowed to comment. I don't know.
Don't be a fucking Nazi. Finn Balor's gonna win now.
Oh yeah, yeah, without question, without question. That's the whole reason. It just bothers me when you. I mean, it's. I'm a purist in some forms. Like, when you give away a match on television like that, it's kind of... It's a pain in my ass a little bit.
you're asking people to get stoked and pay for a pay-per-view in a few nights, and then you're going to give away one of the matches. Not just one, but two, but three.
That's WWE.
Yeah. We're so thrilled. You can hear the excitement in our voice for the Raw brand. Well, we're almost getting to the SmackDown goodness here.
It's five stops away from my house. Well, more like 12 stops away from my house, and I'm not going. So
we've got the another Raw match to get through. Another Raw match that leaves me sort of perplexed. Why the fuck is Enzo Amore in the shark cage? Big Show versus Cass. Babyface in the shark cage for the first time ever. I subscribe to the theory that Enzo's going to drop a gimmick down to Big Cass, and he's going to knock out the Big Show with it. It's going to be like a ruse. They realize that this wasn't working. I don't know, though, because Big Cass got over pretty good as a heel on Monday night from Boston. But I think we're going to be like, oh, we got you. Enzo and Cass are back together, but they're heels now. What easier way to send a message to Enzo Amore if he's really got backstage heat than to kill his merch sales?
I know, but that's also killing Cass's.
Well, Cass, they already killed his.
Well, he ain't having it.
Yeah.
I don't think they know what they want to do. I think they have more. I think they're keeping Enzo around because he's making the money, but I think they feel that they have more wrestling ability. I don't know the correct way to phrase that. With Big Cass. They like Big Cass as a wrestler. They can't stand Enzo Amore. But also, did you hear that fucking... You know what? I'm not even going to talk about that.
What?
No.
Go on.
Someone did a shoot interview. What's that little fucker's name? Simon Gotch did a shoot interview about Enzo, and he was talking about the shit. Like, I can tell you some shit about fucking Gotch. Like, I know from personal friends.
I've heard Gotch isn't too shy.
What do you mean?
You know, he's not one to be opposed to showing off the twig and berries.
Oh, that too. And the twig and berries might not smell the best. and also, you know, there might be. I can't say actually that phrase. I'll tell you that after the show. Unless you want to, like, beep it out in the show.
Nope. I don't even want to know.
I can't say that word.
Where did this go?
He likes them fresh.
Yeah. I gotcha.
Yes. Allegedly.
So who, I guess...
Don't motherfucking sue me, motherfucker.
I'm picking Big Cass. Is that...
Yeah, Big Cass.
All right.
He's already beat up both of them like 9 times.
Yeah, I could give a fuck. This is the match I'm going to go make dinner during. Next up, we got Randy Orton versus Rusev. Anything but Rusev winning this match to me is not tolerable at all.
I agree, but Randy Orton's going to win.
God. Fuck. Next! Rusev needs a fucking win right now. Like, I can't believe they brought him back and he lost to John. I just can't see them feeding him to Orton. Orton's probably got to go film a shitty direct-to-DVD movie again at some point, right?
Or he's got to go to a fucking rally.
That we can't confirm nor deny. Randy Orton is not a racist as far as we know.
He just votes for them. But Randy Orton's winning.
Okay. Next up, we got the SmackDown Women's
title. Oh, my
God.
I'm going to get subpoenaed tomorrow.
You're
going to
get subpoenaed. You're going to get a cease and desist from the Orton lawyers. SmackDown Women's Champion Naomi versus
Natalya. That's what I saw the really hot guys. Cease and desist.
I thought it was usually like, never mind.
Proceed and resist.
Yeah, I was going to say like proceed and dismount or something
and
like
you
that.
You also saw that I'm like laying on my couch. And like when I did all that, I like literally like lifted my leg up. My dog is looking at me like, you poor unfortunate soul.
Naomi versus Natalya. Who do you got in this one? I'm taking Natalya for the win here.
Nope, I'm taking Naomi.
You're going to feel it low.
Yeah, I think they just did that customizable belt. They're making fucking money selling that belt. Continue making fucking money. Naomi is in a weird spot where while her run hasn't been the best because they haven't really allowed her to do the things we want her to do, there's still a money match in her and Charlotte. And I think after that match, is whenever that match happens, her and Charlotte on a pay-per-view, that's when Carmella's going to cash in. But you also, she's been very... She's done something that not a lot of women have been able to do. Bailey's been able to do it. Sasha's been able to do it. But because of that gimmick of the glow, she has so many things she can sell.
Mm-hmm.
So many things she can merchandise. And that fucking belt kind of put her over the top, being able to sell that potentially as a toy. I think she's making them a lot of money as champion. You know, even though we don't see her all the time on TV, she's making them a lot of fucking money. Her shirts, I see her shirts everywhere. So I think you continue to capitalize on that. Natalya has actually been one of the people that Naomi works with the best. So I think as long as you give them 10 to 15 minutes, 10 to 12 minutes, well, shit, you can give them 15 minutes. I think they're going to put on a really, really good, fun match. And I think Naomi deserves and will finally get, like, an actual hard-earned win on pay-per-view defending her title.
Next up, we have the Raw. I'm getting this card is already getting long. It's only Thursday night. We've got the Raw Women's Champion Alexa Bliss defending against Sasha Banks. I'm going to pick Alexa Bliss.
I just don't see what Alexa is really adding to the title at the moment, though. That's my only thing about it. I like Alexa, but, like, I'd like to see a definite other match. You can't end that match in a tomfoolery like you did the last match to kind of continue the story, because the beef between them two is real. So I want to see that rematch, and I want to see Reeds. I want to see Shade. I want to see Edges snatched. I want to see Edges licked. I want to see face, like, you know, lace fronts lifted. I want to see, like, this go on for another month or so.
There you go. Raw, tag team titles on the line. Sheamus and Cesaro versus Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. Two-thirds of the Shield. The two-thirds of the Shield we like. Unfortunately, the two-thirds of the Shield without the rights to the look or the music. I originally thought Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins were going to win the tag titles here, but I honestly think it's going to come down to it, like Seth's about to do it, and then Dean is going to turn on Seth on Sunday night.
I would be completely fine with that. I think Dean needs a rejuvenate? What is that word?
He needs some hoovy juice.
Yeah.
Juvie juice. Like, did you know that Hulk Hogan used to call it juvie juice? Which actually sounds like juvenile juice, which...
I was going to say something else, too. Ooh, it's been a little bit... I know we're rated R, but...
You can get with this. Oh, you can get with that.
He could have called it some Negro juice.
We're coming for you!
Negro. God, we're really awful today. And I haven't even drunk all day. Drunk. That's all I do. It's drink. I think Sheamus and Cesaro should definitely win.
Okay. United States Champion AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens with Shane McMahon as special guest referee. Shane McMahon obviously costs Kevin Owens this match, or doesn't count the pin for Owens after he does something. One way or the other, Shane McMahon is perceived to have screwed Kevin Owens out of the title. AJ Styles retains. I think Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon could be your WrestleMania match.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's all being lead up to that. Shane, sit the fuck down, but you know what? Whatever.
John Cena versus Big Breakfast, the biggest fucking moron in WWE history. I've never seen such a ridiculous cash-in. Baron Corbin, why would you attack John Cena? Focus on Jinder Mahal, who is down. That's why they call you Big Breakfast, dude. That's why you lost your Money in the Bank briefcase. John Cena wins, LOL. I'm changing my pick from last night. John Cena's walking away with a victory here.
I think they could give it to Baron. Because I think that you can get some mileage out of, again, I'm all about mileage, out of Baron and Cena. And I think that you don't necessarily get that if Cena just wins.
Next up, we've got WWE Champion, the modern-day Maharaja, Jinder Mahal, versus the King of Strong Style. I refuse to call him that other name. It is Shinsuke Nakamura. I think with Big Breakfast losing the briefcase, Shinsuke Nakamura picks up the victory here without any need for everyone to turn around and start worrying about Corbin. It's a good moment. Everybody's happy. Jinder doesn't need the title. They've established him in the main event now, I think. He's hung with Cena, hung with Orton. He'll hang with Nak on Sunday night, and he'll be just fine.
Yeah, I agree. Nakamura.
Finally, the one that honestly I'm most excited about, because this is just going to be clubberin' city. It's going to be suplex city. This is going to be the hardest hitting match in WWE history. I'm just going to go on a limb here. The Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar, versus the big dog, Roman Reigns, versus Samoa Joe, versus the monster among men, Braun Strowman. I'm going to call this one like I sees it. Brock Lesnar retains by defeating Roman Reigns.
I think he's the one who should take the and can afford to take the pin. I don't think Braun should be pinned in quite some time. I think Samoa Joe being pinned at balls is enough for him. But I agree that Brock Lesnar will retain, and I believe that it will be.
Okay. Well, for anybody, I talked about it on the Twitch stream with Jeff last night. For anybody who doesn't know, Brock hasn't put himself back into the USADA pool, so the earliest he could compete in UFC at this point would be 5 months from now, which puts it smack down in the middle of Royal Rumble season. There's no way WWE is agreeing to Brock having a match on the road to WrestleMania, so Brock and Jon Jones is going to have to wait. It'll wait till after Brock's contract with the company is up at WrestleMania. I could honestly see that being where he drops the title. I think that we have another year-long Brock Lesnar run. I think this is okay. You've got enough talent on Raw. You can do it. I don't understand all these people who are like, oh, but he's never there with the title. The fuck does the title mean anymore? Is it really that important?
And I'm also like, yeah, we forget of the days where the only reason the four or five people who are above Asuka in terms of their reign have it is because they wrestled every, 3 months at a farm. The expectation that he has to be there every fucking time is ridiculous. I was surprised he was like, great balls. He has more pay-per-view dates than he had previously. I wish they would put more emphasis on the Intercontinental Champion. Who's the Intercontinental Champion?
The Miz, believe it or not.
Oh. Which is weird because he usually always runs with that belt. In a good way. I think you put more emphasis on the Intercontinental Belt. Intercontinental Belt should be main event and some shit. Make that Intercontinental Belt something to fight for. And it really doesn't bother me anymore. At all.
You were going to accost a snow bunny with Jamie Lynn?
It's a long story, and we can't talk about it.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get out of here for this week. Thank you for everybody for listening. Darnell, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at DNLicious. I guess if you want, you can follow my Snapchat. It's not that interesting. It's literally just my dog, at Heisenberg.
You got Heisenberg?
I'm pretty sure that's my name.
That's fucking rad. I didn't know that was your name.
It's not my name. That's not my name. And then I am also the advocate for Earl.
Art by Earl.
Yes, that's E-R-L-E. So you can, follow me there.
All right, you can follow me on Twitter at Smohawk, on Instagram at Smohawk. Make sure you're following the Mothership on Twitter at PW Mothership. Follow the network on Twitter at Pro Wrestling IA, on Instagram at Pro Wrestling _IA. Like us on Facebook by searching Pro Wrestling Iowa. Darnell, where should we have him sit?
You should have several seats.
You're all too sweet. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Ooh. We got it there. Woo!
You're listening to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows, visit electronicmediacollective.com.